About 3 years ago, what Jesus just said as far as loving one another wasn't necessarily true for everyone at our church. But rather, 3 years ago, there were some internal disagreements amongst people in the church. Also, we had some financial challenges about 3 years ago, and so this caused some anxiety. And if you were involved with it in some way, shape, or form, or you were connected to it, the feeling that you would have is pain and frustration. Some of you remember this or know what I'm talking about. Others of you are newer, and so thanks be to God you came after that. But nevertheless, that's kind of how you felt if you were involved with it or you were connected with it in some way, shape, or form. And if you're connected with it in some way, shape, or form, it's very easy to sin because you're kind of like in the middle of it all. And so it can tend to bring out your flesh or your sinful nature rather than bring out the light and to bring out the love. And so that was something that was present, but thanks be to God for his love. Thanks be to God for his grace and his light that he can take a people from one place and then bring them to another place. He can take a people where there are those kinds of challenges, but then by the power of his love and his gospel and his light, he takes you to a place that's better. And the reason for that is because our God is greater. God's love is stronger. It's higher and more powerful than any other. And so that's why we can be in a better place today by the power of his love and by the power of his grace. And so you probably noticed that the unifying theme of the scripture readings was loving relationships. And so the first place where we have to start, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is God's love to us. Otherwise, we don't have anything. We're going to mess it up. But if we have God's love to us, then there's hope. So let's just dive right in. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. And the Apostle John, in this sermon series where the mega theme is love and hate, he addresses them as beloved. And that's all I put up there for now. Beloved. What he's saying is, you are a people that are loved. You are loved greatly. Also, I want to tell you that this term beloved is what the Father calls his Son, Jesus Christ. So Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, if you remember the baptism of Jesus, Matthew records this. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God the Father says this about his Son, that Jesus is loved. Jesus is beloved, and God the Father elected and chose Jesus by his grace to carry out this ministry of love for us. And so in the same way, we are undeserving. We have a sinful nature. We can be rebellious. But God, because he is good, because he is gracious, because he is loving, decides unconditionally to operate according to his character and to pour out his love in your hearts. You are a loved people, St. Paul Lutheran Church and School. Jesus gives you his love, and you have it from him. And what happens then is he just brings you into his arms. You may be experiencing sin or bad relationships or something is going on, but then where he brings you back to is his embrace. But see, that embrace isn't just to encourage you, but it's also to confront your sin and to refine you. He wants to break down those idols that you've put before him. He wants to break down that sinful nature, that pride that's in us, and just love you and bring you to himself and to give you his love in you. That's the kind of love he gives to us when he embraces us by his grace. And then John will continue to say this, 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. He says, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. You heard Leviticus chapter 19 read. A long time ago, God said, 'Love your neighbor as yourself.' Okay, so John's, the point that John's going to get into is love, but he says, hey, you guys have had this from the very beginning. This is not anything new. But then he says, the old commandment is the word you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you. And so it's an old commandment. It goes back to Leviticus, but at the same time, it's new because of the meaning that Jesus Christ gave to love. Some of you think that maybe you love each other. You hear that we should be loving, okay? But Jesus wants to give you an example of what this love looks like, okay? And so Jesus gives new meaning to love. And on your screens, I just wanted to lay this out for you, flesh it out for you from the life of Jesus Christ himself. People marveled in Jesus' day, not only because he had great love for his friends, but also he had great love for lost souls. Like the rich young ruler in the Gospel of Luke, he had great love and compassion for lost people. Also, he had great love for his enemies, even when they were calling him a demon. Okay, imagine you're the Son of God, but other people are calling you a demon. You're kind of like, well, I'm the Son of God. But they were calling him that, but nevertheless, he went to the cross for those people. Also, at the time of his death, while he's suffocating on a cross, he's showing love to his mother. He showed love to a hostile city over which he wept. In addition, he showed love to those who carried out his crucifixion. Imagine being crucified, but you are on the cross, not cursing those people that are killing you, but you're asking the Father to forgive them. Selfless love. His opponents noted this, by the way. Like, people that were not on his side noticed, this is a charitable, loving man. In the midst of all this, he's still loving. Also, he exemplified humility as he washed his disciples' feet, including Judas. Okay? Remember the night in which he's betrayed? He's washing his disciples' feet. And that day, people didn't have Nike and cars, so they walked around in sandals, and then they would come to your house, and you'd have a servant, and that servant would wash their feet. Jesus takes the form of that slave, washes their feet with that humility. And by the way, like I said before, Judas was there. Judas's stinky feet were there. Okay? But Jesus said, you know, I'm going to give you an example of love so that you get this. And then on the cross, he died so that others would live. He died so that you would live. He was forsaken so that you would be forgiven. He was rejected so that you would be accepted. His love is unconditional, sacrificial, selfless, untamable, uncontrollable, powerful for you. And that's the kind of love that comes in and makes all the difference in our relationships. So first, we get that love by his grace. We receive it by faith. But then it's also an example to carry out in our lives. You are loved. Let's keep going. He says this, 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. It is a new commandment that I am writing to you, get this, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. What John is saying is this. This love from Jesus that he exemplified during his public ministry, all those things that he did and said, guess what? That love is true in him, but now it's true in you. The reason he can say this is because by faith, Jesus lives in you. You might not be able to comprehend this. It's a mystery. But Jesus, the Son of God, in his humanity and in his divinity, lives in you. And he lives in all believers, all at the same time. Remember, Jesus says in John chapter 14, you will do greater things than what I've done. The reason why he can say that is because he was one man. But see, now he's living in all of you, all believers, all at the same time, for 2,000 years, all across the globe. And he lives in them to give love through you to others. Do you see how much we can accomplish together with Jesus living in us, working through us to love others, St. Paul? He lives in you. Also then, what ends up happening when this occurs is then you're not the center anymore. But rather, just like in Jesus' ministry, others are at the center now. It's not about you, but it's about others. This is transformational in a culture that's very individualist, where everybody is just focused on me and on demand and what can I get and my portfolio and my assets and my retirement and my comfort and my convenience and me, me, me. Jesus says, no, it's about others. Sacrificial, selfless love for others. And then he says, the reason for this is because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The reason why he can say that is because when Jesus came into the world, he is the light and the love of the world. And when he came and died on the cross for sin, rose again from the dead, conquering sin, death, and the devil, the light came in and put a big dent in the darkness. Okay? So it's like a KO blow. The light came in and has prevailed over the darkness. Now, some of you may not see this. Like, you see more darkness than you see light. And sometimes you will see that. But also, you can also choose to see the light. You can choose to see the love. And you can also choose to walk in the light and to walk in the love of Jesus, because in the end, the light and the love is going to prevail. Forever and ever, the light and love is going to prevail everlasting through Jesus and his church. That's why he says, the darkness is passing away. You guys need to know who's going to win, what is going to win. Paul says it in a little bit of a different way. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31, Paul says it in this way. I want to give you more layers to how the apostles unpack this. Paul says, the present form of this world is passing away. This means that a world of love is going to prevail in the end. This is what you get to be a part of, St. Paul. This is who you are as followers of Christ. In the beginning of this book, if you remember about 2 weeks ago, John opened up with this statement. And he says this in 1 John chapter 1. Verses 5 and 6. And this is going to serve to take us to our passage and to give context to the love that he's calling you to now. But in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, he says this, remember this. God is light. That's talking about his holiness and his character. And in him is no darkness at all. There's no evil in him. There's no sin in him. Then remember this, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Okay, so that was like John's opening statement. Remember that? Okay? But now John's going to get specific. He was very general in the beginning of his letter. Okay, now he's going to tell you exactly who he's talking about at this church that he's writing to, and then also in our lives, who he's talking about to hit you and to compel you. So let's go to chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. John says this, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother, that word could also be translated fellow believer, is still in darkness. I can't massage that one for you, okay? Like, what he's basically saying is if you claim to be a follower of Christ, but you hate another Christian, you're not yet a Christian. That's what he's saying. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. And so you can see that John is concerned about other people stumbling because of your sin. He doesn't want the people in the body of Christ to be a detriment to other people's faith and to bring them down when they're trying to move forward. And so the question is, in your lives, compelled by the love of Jesus Christ, are you witnessing to the light or the darkness? Are you witnessing to the love or the hate? And see, here's the thing. You have been given the death, the sacrificial, selfless love of Jesus and his light. And then I want to tell you this again. In the end, that's what's going to prevail. And you are a family now in Christ. How many of you have experienced divisions in family before? You guys are like, well, duh, Pastor. Like, that's what we all do. It shouldn't be that way. But are those divisions in families fun? It's not a lot of fun. And it's also not a good witness. Hey, we're the Jackson family, but we fight a lot. You know, like, that's not what you want the reputation to be. If your last name's Jackson, I wasn't trying to. That's what came to my mind. So you've experienced these loving relationships. Now imagine that, hey, we've been brought in by the love and the light of Jesus into his family. What kind of a name are we giving the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit if we're not witnessing to his love, but rather to the darkness and the hate? See, John wants us to witness to that light and love and cause nobody else to stumble. You ever heard of, like, would you want to be a part of a church that, hey, they all hate each other? I want to go there. That'd be awesome. Like, that church is really cool. They just all are mean to each other. But rather, you'd rather be a part of a church where they love each other. There's no cause for stumbling. They're good witnesses. They get it. They get the love of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we had a voters' assembly to approve David Weir to be an elder. He didn't know I was going to bring him up in the sermon again. But we had that meeting, and then he was approved, so he's now an elder in the church. And thanks, I'm thankful that he preached last Sunday too. Thanks be to God for his gift. And also, he was able to stand up in front of the church and say, I remember when I came with my wife and my daughter to this church for the first time. And he said it was like a family reunion. That's the kind of love that he felt. That's the kind of welcome he felt. That's the way it should be, St. Paul. That's how people should feel when they're welcomed into the community of Jesus Christ. And so think about this guy who, like 3 years ago, he wasn't even following Jesus Christ. But now God's love has compelled him, poured out the Holy Spirit in him and caused him to grow by what? The power of Jesus' love. Jesus' love does great things in our lives. And I want you to know that a mark of a healthy Christian community, we can talk about church health, and we can also talk about churches that have some maybe infections, they need to become more healthy. A mark of a healthy Christian community is loving relationships in the body of Jesus Christ. And it all starts with your marriages. That's where it starts. Your marriages need to be a place where that love of Jesus, especially if both of you have the love of Jesus, you can have that love towards each other. If you need to work on that, I invite you to come in and let me know about what's going on so I can help with that. It all starts there. Also, then it moves forward into our growth groups. We have growth groups that scatter during the weeks, and they meet for Bible study and fellowship. If you are not opening up at those growth groups, then you won't be able to be loved on by the people there. If everything is closed off, you're not sharing anything, then you won't be able to receive love by the people of God. That needs to be a safe place. If it's not a safe place yet, I want to pray that it becomes a safe place so that you can love each other as Christ has loved you. Also, teachers, childcare workers, custodians, everybody in the staff, we also are called to walk in the light and the love of Jesus towards each other. How we talk to each other, how we're witnessing to the love and the light of Jesus with each other. It's going to start there too. Also, church and school leadership that's unpaid, the ministry leadership, we get to be compelled and transformed by the love of Jesus towards each other, how we treat one another to witness to his grace and his compassion towards us. Some of you are like, how are we going to do all this? This is a lot. Because there's people that are annoying, Pastor. How are we going to be loving to the annoying people? Like, some of you don't like the way somebody laughs, like they laugh funky, and then maybe they, sounds like they're hiccuping when they're laughing, you know? So like there's something about somebody else that's like annoying to you. Here's the deal. God wants humility. We don't always have to be on top. We don't always have to be right. We don't always have to get our way, but he wants us to wash one another's feet, serve each other in love like Jesus. That's what's going to make all the difference. Now, some of you might say, or no, before we go there, I need to go here. Okay? I'm going to go here. Is there somebody right now who you need to love? Okay? Is there somebody right now that you're kind of like, you got one of those relationships where you're not making eye contact? Okay? You're not making eye contact. You're just not dealing with the issue. But you could very easily approach the other person. Is there somebody that's bothering you right now, but you just have both decided you don't want to talk about it? You just kind of sweep it under the rug? I want to tell you something. It's so easy. Like, if you're not the kind of person that can approach another person, you're so scared of confrontation. I'm too introverted to confront them. No, I can't do it. Just use me, okay? Say, Pastor, I need your help to talk to this person. There's some of you that have things that can the Holy Spirit can resolve in like 10 minutes. If you sit down and you have a mediator, the Holy Spirit can resolve it that quickly. You just have to be willing to come into the light and the love of Jesus to make that happen. Okay, now, some of you might ask, based on this text, he says that we can't hate our brother or our sisters in Christ. So some of you might say, can I hate a non-believer? You guys want somebody to hate, right? I gotta hate somebody or something, you know? Can I hate a non-believer? The answer is no, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 44. You can't only not hate a non-believer, you can't hate your enemy. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That should be your disposition towards them because you have citizenship in another world now, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Your life isn't about being on top here and getting the glory here, but it's about giving him the glory here and serving others while you're here because your citizenship is not on this earth, but it's in heaven. You don't have to be on top anymore. Love your enemies. You can do this because of his great love for you. Now, some of you maybe haven't taken the initiative to reach out in love to this person or this enemy or this person that you are kind of divided from right now, but you need to reach out. And I want to tell you this. With your enemies, I can't promise you that it's going to all work out because I don't know where they're at spiritually. But if there's two Christians, the Holy Spirit should be able to reconcile you. But if it's an enemy, maybe they're not a Christian, you still need to reach out in love to them, but I can't guarantee you that it's going to work out. Okay, but you still need to do your part. You still need to reach out. You may call and leave a voicemail. They might not call you back, but you still did what you're supposed to do. My dad's cousin was in a bad relationship with her uncle, or rather her aunt. So my dad's cousin and her aunt. And so they had a bad relationship. It all goes back to the fact that her dad and her aunt, which are brother and sisters, had a bad relationship. After her dad died, she decided that she was going to reach out to her aunt and try and reconcile this relationship. So she called and made that first step to say sorry about some things, to reach out. But then my aunt, or rather her aunt, just said, no, sorry, we're not taking this from you. Click. I can't guarantee you that it's going to be like, oh, yeah, you're forgiven. Everything's all good. But you still need to do your responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ. Like, why couldn't you give us a positive example? Because this is the reality of loving your enemies. Your enemies may not receive you back, but you still need to love them. And so, what can you hate? This is an emotion that's in you. You can hate two things, sin and evil. In fact, you must hate sin in yourself. You must hate evil in yourself and in this world. You must hate it because God hates it. And you may see it in others. And God's not asking you to love the sin and to love the evil, but he's asking you to love the sinner. And to know this, that God loved the world. He gave his son for the sins of the entire world, even your enemy or that unbeliever that's annoying you and has done something to you. Jesus has sacrificed his life for that person. It's that kind of love for the world that Jesus wants you to have. Take home point for today is one point. As Jesus has powerfully loved you by his grace, so may you love others as a witness to his light and his love that will prevail for all eternity. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts, guard your minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.